The following is a presentation of the Cold Slither Podcast Network.
Another exciting episode of the Click Nation's Comic Book Chronicles.
Yay!
I am your host, Tim Theo Double G. Tonight I'm joined by the man behind the News Nerds Need Twitter account, at Roddy Cat on Twitter.
What's up, everybody?
And we also have the man behind the sound effects for every episode of Comic Book Chronicles, at Agent_70 on Twitter.
What's up, everybody?
And not able to join us tonight because he either lost his voice at a concert last night or has the flu.
Or caught the concert flu.
Whatever excuse he came up with. At PCN_dirt on Twitter, and make sure to go to his website, popculturenetwork.com. Make sure to go to our website, theclicknation.com. You can find previous episodes of Comic Book Chronicles and comic book reviews. Follow the Twitter account, at CBCron. Like the Facebook fan page, facebook.com/theclicknation. Add us to your circles on Google+. Search for, or actually go to the URL link, google.com/plussymbolTheClickNation. Subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, and youtube.com/TheClickNation. We are part of the Cold Slither Podcasting Network. Go to their website, cspn.us. We record live every Thursday night, 9 p.m. Eastern Time. And make sure to use the hashtag Comic Book Chronicles or CBCron on your favorite social media website so you may have your status updates read live on the show. I think that's it.
Yeah.
All right. Let's see what's going on in the world of comic book cinematic news.
He said we forgot Redbubble.
Go to the CSPN.us's shop, I guess is the better term.
Mm-hmm.
Redbubble.com/people/CSPN/shop, and you can buy official Comic Book Chronicles gear.
Look at what Roddy's rocking right there. Get out!
Like get this out. Wonderful cup I'm holding up. Uh oh. Oh, before I spill what's in there.
Please don't spill.
Yeah.
That looks very cool, Roddy.
Yeah, it's pretty good. It's a pretty nice cup.
I need to buy something off of it.
Yeah, same. At the very least, getting a T-shirt to wear to the con, you know, to like New York Comic Con.
Yeah, thought about
at
that.
At the very least, I got to do that. And now it's almost September. I got to order that.
Get a swell A shirt going. Show the guns off.
I don't know about that. I have to hit the gym and get a shirt.
Alrighty, let's see. What do we have first? We're done with talking about Fantastic Four.
I figured that was going to be the last one.
Yeah. This is interesting. So DC Entertainment is planning a sitcom on, I believe, the NBC network.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Planning a sitcom that's The Office with superheroes. I think this could catch on.
I mean, from the premise-wise, you would think that's going to be work. And it's not like The Office hadn't been a hit for them before. But I don't know, the whole DC angle, yeah, I don't know, it could work out. Like, if they did something, like, if it was Marvel and it was, like, Damage Control, that would be something I'd want to see. Like,
what office would they have from the DC Universe? It's obviously not going to be the Daily Bugle, like, bullpen. Not the Daily Planet, like, newsroom.
Or if they did, like, that one, I think I saw where in Teen Titans, I think they had an operations staff, and it was, like, Wendy and Marvin.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, like, seriously, what office would they have? Is it just going to be like a regular office building, but there's going to be, it's going to be like based in Gotham or based in Metropolis or Star City or Starling City, whatever they want to call it now?
Or it's the Hall of Justice?
I don't know. I mean,
everyone assumes that it would be a news-related show, but there's lots of different ways they could take it.
Yeah.
Oh, so Channel 52, that would, I guess, they could do that.
Hey, they actually got rid of that, didn't they?
I don't know.
52's over. After all, I got tired of those little news things at the end of each issue.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
Yeah. Seems so long ago.
I don't know. I think they saw the Muppets thing and was like, we need to do something.
There aren't any comedic comic book shows out there that's not like, you know, Teen Titans Go cartoon. I don't know. I think it has potential, whatever the focus of the show ends up being.
We'll see.
Team Arrow's upgrading the Arrow Cave for season 4.
Looks pretty good.
That's a thing, Arrow Cave?
Yeah, they don't officially call it that, but
okay.
Officially.
Yeah, which apparently that was, I remember seeing something a while back that it did say something about that in a comic book. You know, it was like him and Batman were talking.
Yeah.
But anyway.
This official Arrow is now the hero Star City deserves.
Yeah.
I was referring to that they revealed that they've changed the name from Starling City to Star City.
Michelle Ventimiglia cast in Gotham season 2 as Firefly. I saw the picture for her. Very attractive.
Nice.
Not sure if I'll still watch Gotham though.
I know I'll be still on it for a little bit.
The CW president says Legends of Tomorrow is the last DC spinoff for now, which is probably smart. They need to hold your horses. I mean, they are putting out successful shows, but don't want to lose focus on the successful shows they do have out right now.
I mean, can they really support more than 3 of these shows right now?
I mean,
like in all seriousness?
I mean, yeah.
The CW is going to keep showing them.
Yeah.
I'm sure CW doesn't want to just be known for the DC superhero network.
There could be worse things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Supergirl cast Justice Leak as villain Hell Grammet.
That's a heck of a name.
Justice Leak or Hell Grammet?
Both, but yeah.
And they also cast the villain Livewire. Levi Miller joins Supergirl as Cat Grat's son. No one cares about Wolverine 3. But yeah, Patrick Stewart confirms his role in Wolverine 3.
You mean Captain Picard showing up? What?
And Hugh Jackman teases Sabretooth and Berserker Rage. I guess Berserker Rage is a thing you have to promote.
Berserker Barrage.
I mean, you know, hey, it's a signature move of his. Why not?
The thing where he kills a bunch of people.
I mean, you know.
Loses control.
No, he dashes across the screen and, like, chops his claws back and forth.
Yeah, all we need now is a fastball special, and that'll be it.
Now we need the yellow and brown suit is what we need.
Yeah.
Well, there's that, too. And since we're on here, I'll throw this in here real quick. Patrick Stewart reveals a surprising X-Men Days of Future Past detail, which is not so much news, but it was. I thought it was kind of neat. Basically, the chair he was using actually levitated. It only was about a few inches, but it actually did levitate. And so that was interesting.
Okay.
That works.
Magnets.
More insignificant news. X-Men Apocalypse will also feature the Blob.
That's again.
The Blob ain't moving for nobody.
The latest Guardians of the Galaxy promo is a love letter to raccoons.
Really?
Well, yeah, it's just basically his origin.
That's funny.
Ronda Rousey shares art of herself as Captain Marvel.
Okay, so...
Let the lobbying begin.
Yeah, exactly. I was going to say this is definitely in the realm... This is definitely in the same realm as Tyrese Gibson lobbying to become Jon Stewart.
Mm-hmm.
But what do you guys think of her being cast? You know, let's just say hypothetically.
She's got the look. I mean, from the pictures I showed, so that part is cool.
But
I don't know about her acting.
Exactly. What I was going to say is I think that we have to err on the side of Marvel Studios knows how to cast actors.
Yeah.
Pretty much. I'd want someone that's an actual actor or actress to play the part. She was great in Entourage. I did see the Entourage movie. She was great in that.
Yeah, and I think she was her biopic, so she's going to be in that.
let's cool down with the Ronda Rousey as Captain Marvel. There's a lot of other great possibilities out there. Emily Blunt, some say.
Wait, isn't she already doing Cap?
I don't know. Come on, we all know we want Charlize Theron to be...
I was going
to
say Charlize Theron.
Oh, jeez.
We want the Theron.
The Disney Expo D23 was last weekend. There was a lot of excitement and news from that. Footage of Captain America Civil War, some concept art for Doctor Strange.
Disney Infinity 3.0 is getting Kingdom Hearts for those who like Kingdom Hearts.
Exactly.
John Boyega's getting a lightsaber, or had a lightsaber on the poster that they revealed.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Because
of Disney Park.
Lupita is in a couple of Disney movies.
The who?
Lupita.
Oh, yeah.
None Marvel yet.
It's the Iron Man ride. That's something.
they're doing a whole Marvel, or no, Star Wars.
Star Wars, yeah.
Land, I guess, for lack of a better term.
Sure. They showed some Doctor Strange. They talked about Captain America, Civil War. Yeah, I think they did show some actual footage of Doctor Strange, or at least talked about it. I can't remember what it was. But yeah, it was some stuff. They announced the dude who's doing Rogue One, who's directing Rogue One.
All that stuff seems like so far in the future. I'm not really thinking about the Star Wars stuff yet. I need the first movie to come out before I start like heavily thinking about Star Wars.
That's only a couple of months away, dude. And Rogue One is supposed to be, well, I guess Rogue One is supposed to be next May, so that's not that far.
But yeah, let the movies come out first. speaking of movies, we had a question on Twitter from IndieAngel25, who says, do you think / hope they'll have Boba Fett in Episode 7? I hope they do. I'm going to go with that he's dead and eaten in the whatever it was called on Tatooine.
The Sarlacc.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I need to brush up on my Star Wars.
Yeah, I was about to say the he got out of there, but that all that history is gone now. So I don't think he's dead, and they are doing a movie on him, or rumored to be doing a movie on him. So I suspect he's not. And whether he's going to be in Episode 7, that is probably a decent chance. But I don't know. I think that would be something they would save for like 8 or something.
But yeah, the Solo film has been in the rumor for a while.
That's
the one Josh Trank was supposed to be doing, right? Or is it Rogue One?
No, it was not Rogue One, I don't think. I think it was the Boba Fett one or something.
Whatever, the one that the guy just got cast on, right? Or was that whoever the guy was at D23, is that for Episode...
No, that's for Rogue One. That's for Rogue One. The director?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's Rogue One.
That's another thing. I keep getting all these movie names, you know, in the air. I'm getting everything confused now. Too many movies.
Well, that's the next one out. So I mean, out after 7.
So 8.
Well, yeah, because they're doing 7 now. Then they're doing Rogue One, and I guess and then 8 will be either to 2017. I don't know. I can't remember.
Ellis, as in Warren Ellis, and Hamner's Red, which was a movie, two-part movie, headed to NBC as a TV series.
Totally forgot this was a book.
Me too.
Okay.
A producer says the League of Extraordinary Gentlemen reboot will be female-centric. Which goes against the gentleman portion of the...
Whatever, man. Whatever.
Well, I'm sure there'll be the League of Gentlemen. There might be just one or two, you know...
The League. Yeah. And that's the FX series, The League.
Goodness gracious.
Elvira animated series is in the works. Rest in peace to Yvonne Craig, TV's first Batgirl.
Yes. Rest in peace, Yvonne Craig. So sad to hear that.
Johnny Quest live-action movie characters confirmed.
Curious about that one.
Rebecca Ferguson no longer in the running for Gambit's Belladonna, because I think she's in some other movie.
Yeah, I think she's in one of the Star Wars movies or something. I don't know.
Yeah. Of course, X-Men star Sean Ashmore will be absolutely interested in an Iceman solo film.
Okay.
Which his twin brother is in Killjoys. On a side note, it's a pretty good show. Check it out if you like sci-fi.
He has a brother?
Yeah, he's got a twin brother.
Oh, okay. Stephen Amell, a.k.a. The Arrow, and WWE team up for a fundraiser before SummerSlam. And news from today, Marvel's Mockingbird gets pilot order with Adrian Palicki starring in Marvel's Most Wanted.
Cool.
And from what I quickly read about it, They're saying that she would still be a part of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., and this spinoff would take place before Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., showing, her, I guess, her past with whoever her husband's name is on the show. Nick, I think I saw, if I remember correctly.
Hunter.
Hunter.
Hunter. Nick Blood is actually Hunter. His real name.
Yeah,
Lance Hunter. Yeah, he's got a better real name as a spy than his name on the show. It would be much cooler if his name on the show was actually Nick Blood.
Right? Or a villain, one or two. But, oh, we got something from Dirt, by the way, talking about Red. So Red was great, comics and movies. And I can agree on the movies, because those were actually pretty good. I hadn't read the comics.
And very cool news, Masters of the Universe taps Christopher Yost to rewrite screenplay.
Don't let what is face nowhere near that movie. Dolph Lundgren.
Not, he can't even have a cameo?
Come on. Okay, give the guy a couple of times or something.
He's doing Kindergarten Cop. Come on.
Respect the source material.
Seriously. I mean,
okay. You know what? Yes. Let him walk on for something. But no, don't. No.
Oh, and Dirt said, Boba Fett is dead.
Yep.
he's alive to me, damn it.
Leave him inside that Sarlacc or whatever it's called.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
Let's see. So let's see. An article I'm going to take a look at some point is this Shelf Life from Comic Book Resources, The Writer's Guide to Working at Home.
Ooh, I got to read that.
For you. Yeah, I'll put that in there for y'all.
Anything else in here? Jeff Johns and Jason Fabok discuss Darkseid War and their love of Mr. Miracle over at Comic Vine. Jeff Lemire did some interviews over at Comics Alliance and one on Newsarama I read today for Ascender.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, I sent him an email today to see if I can get an advanced look at Plutona, since that's been making the rounds.
Yeah, I was going to say, speaking of D23, there's a couple of articles in there about there's the Star Wars presentation and I guess the highlights from the Captain America and the Doctor Strange panel.
Let's see. Dennis Hopeless responded to one of my email questions for Comic Book Resources exposition on all new X-Men.
Oh, nice.
Cool.
Oh, and Mark Upchurch talks about his arrest on domestic abuse charges and what happened next. Former artist and co-creator of Rat Queens. Hope he makes a return in something. Mm. Enjoyed his art. Let's see, we had the November 2015 solicits from all the publishers. Let's see, in comic book news, Piscor announces hip-hop family tree development deal.
Roddy, tell me about that. I didn't have a chance to read that.
What's right? You know what? This probably should have been in... this probably should have been in the cinematic stuff. It's basically going to be an animated series.
Really?
Ooh. Yeah, based on Hip Hop Family Tree.
God, I can imagine trying to get the music rights for that.
Yeah, no, that's going to be kind of interesting. But yeah, and I guess this must have just happened because he didn't say anything about it at Heroes, which just been a couple of months ago. So that's going to be a pretty cool deal.
Dirt reminds me that it's Dark Side, not Dark Seed.
I was going to
Well, we're being
say
polite
that,
to you,
but...
Tim. We're just letting you roll with
Spell it.
Spell
it, Side.
Yeah, then. I was going to let you cook, so it was, you know.
I think I corrected you. I
before
you on that
after
one before,
scene,
you know, following the rules.
That's funny because I was going to say that earlier.
Yeah,
but it's an S, so the rule doesn't apply.
So the rule should apply. It should be I before E.
Oh boy,
did not say it correctly.
That's funny.
Celebrate Kirby's legacy. Help Hero Initiative with Kirby for Heroes. Hulk hands coming to Disney Playmation. The Avengers. This I have not read, but a comic writer gets stuck in a hole and Twitter saves him.
What? Yeah. So apparently Ryan North was trying to get had his dog with him and was trying to get a picture in a looks like a half pipe from the picture, but I don't know what the deal was. And he couldn't get back out, so he went to Twitter. Went to Twitter and see, because he made it sound like it was hypothetical, but I don't know if it was actually, it seemed like it was actually really, really happening, but he finally got out, so.
That's the
Yeah, couldn't get back up with his dog and whatever other equipment he had on or something. Or he had an umbrella, excuse me.
Cool news, Marvel announces ninth Spider title to relaunch Afro-Latino super team, the Santerians.
Okay.
Had never heard of them before, but it's going to be, the writer is a TV writer, Jorge Molina?
Jose Molina.
I knew it was something, Jay. Jose Molina and...
Simone Bianchi,
thank you.
Yeah.
So, and that's a limited series, right?
Yes.
Yeah, because it's like Amazing Spider-Man 1.1.
Yeah, spinning out of Amazing Spider-Man.
I remember when they were created, but nothing's been done with them since. You know, whatchamacallit, Joe Quesada himself created these characters back in 05.
Yeah.
In the Daredevil Father miniseries, but I don't remember too much about them.
Oh, okay.
DC Comics Sheriff of Baghdad changed his name because of John McPhee. So it's not going by Sheriff of Baghdad anymore?
I guess not.
Okay.
That's one of those Vertigo books, isn't it? Is that the one with the Punisher artist on it?
Mitch Tom King Mitch and Mitch Gerard. Yeah.
Oh, Mitch Gerard, yeah.
Replacing Fiona Staples on Archie will be Annie Wu and Veronica Fish. Red Widow arrives in Marvel's Mockingbird Shield one-shot. That's kind of cool.
Yeah.
All right. That's it for news. Anything in the variant corner you want to shine light on to?
Actually, yeah, there was. Let's see. There's the DC covers, the DC variants for November, which is Looney Tunes themed.
Do you have a favorite?
No.
Oh, come on. My favorite's got to be Kill the Wabbit with Elmer Fudd, you know, dressed as a Wagnerian Viking and Wonder Woman. That one's awesome.
I mean, let's see. Hold on. I'm going to go ahead and pull them up real quick. Boop. There we go. The Marvin and Martian one I kind of like, actually, and the Justice League one. But, okay, yeah, that one is pretty good.
That's my favorite. When I saw that, I was like, yeah, I'm going to do my best to try to get that one.
So, but outside of that, yeah, it was, there they are right there.
Okay. What, these variant covers?
Yeah, for November, the Duck Dodgers one.
Oh, okay.
Not Duck Dodgers, Duck Twicey.
Duck Twicey. God. Is there a Duck Dodgers one?
Yeah. Well, no. There's not a Duck. Well, I guess the closest one would be the closest one would probably be the Marvin and Martian one, but yeah, there is no Duck Dodgers.
Oh, that's a shame that there's no Duck Dodgers variant cover. DC, you missed out on that one.
Now, those are the only ones that was on Comic Vine site. There's probably some more floating around.
I was about to quote Eclectic again. Shout out to Eclectic of the Eclectic Relaxation Podcast. Eclectic Discussion Podcast. I'm sorry to misspeak. Because his favorite saying about DC is DC stays losing.
Yeah.
So.
Well, no, I have to take that away now with all the good titles they got coming out.
All right. So is it ad time?
Yes, it is. This episode of Comic Book Chronicles is brought to you by My Comic Shop. Today's podcast is sponsored by My Comic Shop. Go to cspn.us, then click on Keep Our Podcast Free link at the top of the page. From there, click on the My Comic Shop banner and order from a vast selection of new releases, back issues, vintage classics, graphic novels, and more to be delivered right to your door. Why bother slipping to the comic book store when you can order your books online? My Comic Shop through cspn.us. Do it today.
Yep.
Alrighty. Who would like to go first? I reviewed two books on theclicknation.com and popculturenetwork.com this week.
Well, then, wasn't Martian Manhunter one of them?
It was.
Let's start with that.
Tell us about it.
So, I got sent over the weekend issues 1 through 3 of Martian Manhunter to catch up on, because I guess DC wanted to spread the word on the book, get people to check it out, which I did. And I'd already read issue 1 when it came out, but I skipped issue 2. So, basically, I still went back and reread everything to get the whole gist of the story, along with the Zero issue, or not Zero, but the pre-June issue, which I had skipped anyway. And so basically the story is there's a Martian invasion taking place on Earth, and unknowns to him, John Johns, it is a weapon has been sent to Earth to basically help take us over.
So he's Goku.
And this like rocks his world, and he like tries to kill himself to take himself out of the equation, which he did. I guess he did in issue 2. But of course, this being comics, everything is not as it seems. There's a lot of sort of moving parts with some supporting characters being involved. There's a thief in Dubai named Pearl who, while trying to break into this like rich person's penthouse or whatever, sees him be murdered by a Martian, and then she's chased through the streets of Dubai. There's an FBI agent, Wessel, who investigates this sort of like handicapped kid who killed his mother. But there's like, they're wondering how did he kill his mother, because he has some like some illness where he can't use his hands that well. So how did he strangle her? And this kid's like all creepy and sort of knows things, but it's like, how does he know things? Like, he knows personal information about Agent Wessel's brother. So it's like, is he a Martian? And then there's a new character, Mr. Biscuits, who is pretty much, you can tell, is a Martian, because he's like 8 feet tall and lanky and sort of is creepy looking dude who has befriended some street kids because they get him biscuits and he does like magic tricks for them. So you have all this going on, but then so there's like some lighthearted moments with Mr. Biscuits and whatnot, but then there's like this mystery going on of like what's really going on with these Martians. The Justice League guest stars, which mostly took place last issue in a fight with Martian Manhunter to try to figure out what's going on. There's these terrorist attacks taking place all across the globe, all happening at the same time. They call it the Epiphany. And then issue 3 ends with a nice little cliffhanger at the end where, like I said, everything is not as it seems with Mr. Biscuits and possibly other characters throughout the book. It's like almost like a political thriller, but it's not really politics in it. It's, I guess, just a regular thriller of, like, what's this mystery going on?
Right.
But I enjoyed it. It's from Rob Williams making his DC debut and Eddie Barrows.
Okay.
One of these days we're going to have a conversation how DC has some of the stupidest names ever.
Mr. Biscuits?
That's so dumb.
Okay, so Dirt's got some... Dirt's voice isn't working, but his Twitter fingers are. To Drake.
Oh, no.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, no.
He says, "I love Martian Manhunter. The funky anything goes style is fun. And Martian Manhunter feels like an early Vertigo book without swearing and nudity."
Ah, that means it's not worth it.
Oh, but it is.
All right.
So that's Martian Manhunter.
Cool, cool.
And then it solicits for November, which I think is issue 6, which is like all the issues, all the stuff that debuted in June that coming up to their issue 6s are ending their initial arcs. Introduces a female Martian,
mm-hmm.
So we have to see what part she plays.
Gotcha.
Wait, is it Miss Martian? Are they bringing her back?
We don't know.
That would make sense, but
yeah, we don't know yet. It's just a female Martian.
Gotcha.
Was she ever in the comic books? Was she a comic book character?
I want to say yes.
Not sure.
Probably. I think the Young Justice comic book.
TV show and the initial Young Justice show,
right?
Or comic book. The
Todd. I don't know, because I feel like I remember reading about her being in one of the groups.
I think she might have been in the original Young Justice book.
Someone out there, tell us.
Yeah.
I was about to say, anyone watching the video stream of Compa Chronicles tonight is waiting for Roddy Cat to say, "Where's my snare?" Waiting for Roddy to say, "Where's my snare?
Turn my headphones up.
Gotta tune into the video feed. You gotta pull it up on YouTube to see what I mean at this point in the show." Anyway, let's see. What else can we talk about? What did you guys read? Wow, Roddy, your list is kind of short. You want to talk about Star Wars?
I was about to say, yeah, let's go ahead and get that one out of the way. So after the events of last issue, which has nothing to do with going on with this, actually, I'll take that back. So Luke gets the book that was meant for him, that was Ben's journal. He goes off to try to find the home of the Jedi's, which we know to be Coruscant, but he doesn't know that at the time. But the way he goes about doing that is he goes to Nar Shaddaa. because he figures he can find the answer there, which, if you are up in your Star Wars lore, Nar Shaddai is pretty much Mos Eisley on a planet-sized level. Well, it's a moon, but whatever. Mm-hmm. But it's pretty much Mos Eisley all the way around. So he goes there, gets in some trouble, but he does find the information that he is looking for. But he also loses his lightsaber in the process and is trying to get it back. Because, you know, if you're on a planet full of smugglers and thieves and whatnot, and you start wrenching a lightsaber, which kind of hadn't been seen in a good while.
Right, and it's a symbol of... Right.
Yeah, you're going to attract some attention.
Right, it's a symbol of the former Law and Order.
Yeah. And to his credit, he got into a bar fight and handled himself pretty well up until, you know, he whipped it out.
Yeah. So, you know, that's one half of this book. I just wanted to touch on a couple of points here. So the last issue we had the telling of, or at least one part of Ben Kenobi's diary, you know, his journal from his days on Tatooine growing old and watching over Luke Skywalker grow up. So this is the issue where we find Luke and he's, you know, been flipping through the journal and saying, what the heck, this isn't helping me. I have to go find, you know, the home of the Jedi or something along those lines. And I'm thinking the whole time I'm reading this is, you dipstick, don't you know what Coruscant is at this point? Isn't there an empire that everyone's, you know, whose thumb everyone is under? And isn't there a plan in Coruscant? What part of... Don't you know? I'm gonna invade the home planet of the Empire. Is a you know makes it. What strikes you as this being a good idea, Luke Skywalker? You know, rant over.
Yeah, that part was pretty dumb.
Yeah, I'm like, seriously, you don't know that Coruscant is the home planet of the Empire anyway.
Well, actually, yeah, he had to kind of think about it because you remember the bartender dude that he was talking to was like, yeah, oh, okay, I remember what you want. So you want to get smuggled into the Empire's home, the capital planet.
Right.
Where, you know, where the biggest concentration of the Empire is for whatever reason. And you
right. And look for the Jedi temple that's probably like verboten, and, you know, for everybody because the Jedi are extinct, supposedly.
Right.
So... You know, anyway. So the other half of this book deals with Han Solo, Princess Leia, and Lady Number Two.
Yes, Sana Solo, who is supposedly his wife, even though he keeps saying that it's not.
Right.
She's not my wife.
I don't know who this lady is.
Yeah. So I have a slight issue about that part.
Do you have spoilers to talk about?
I guess it is. The way she's portrayed is kind of weird, but...
Why is that?
Because it kind of makes her as a crazy ex-wife.
Yeah, I was about to say, that's not exactly, you know, genius.
Flattering.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I figured there was going to be something like something else was going on, but you kind of saw notes of that, you know, the couple of issues ago when she found them or whatnot. But still, she comes off as the crazy ex-wife, and
She's also the very bright and very, and she's a better shot than Han Solo.
Yeah, we find all this out, so that stuff is good. But that part was like, all right, there's got to be some more here to this. Well, but although, you know, and also like Leia's resourcefulness in this, because there was a part where Sana was holding them both up, and then Han tried to get his Lando on, try to smooth it out, and Leia just uses that to her advantage. So
yeah, pretty much. And what's funny is that we kind of come, you know, I guess the Leia that we saw in her limited series is the one that we're really encountering right now in this book.
Sanaa seems just as resourceful as Han, so you sort of see like their similarities.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, we don't get much of her, but some would say she seems like she's more capable, especially when he says she's a better shot and whatnot, and you know the stuff that she does in this book.
Right.
So hopefully she sticks around, and hopefully they get rid of the crazy ex-wife part or something. I don't know. Like, I don't know. I kind of imagined that it was like, okay, her and Leia's going to go on some kind of mission or whatever.
Bond.
Yeah.
Over their mutual dislike of Han Solo.
Yeah. So that's what I'm kind of hoping to see. Or that's what I had envisioned seeing at some point.
Interesting.
But outside of that, it was a good read on both sides. You know, I'm still kind of curious as to where this goes.
Yeah, I mean, I was about to say the only thing I didn't like about this book is the whole Luke wants to go where and why?
Yeah.
Yeah, that kind of shocked me out of my my suspension of disbelief, and kind of made me question what I was reading. Sorry.
You got to love the drive, but yeah, there's some other plans that could be done here.
It's like, yeah, it's him and R2. Like, seriously?
Yeah, and I'm pretty sure R2's like, yo, dude. Maybe you want to think about this.
Yeah, seriously. Not a good plan.
You know.
Did anyone read Kanan, since we're talking about Star Wars books?
Good.
Go ahead.
Yes. Kanan the Last Padawan, number 5. So here we get the... Did they say they were making this ongoing, or are they just getting into a rubber?
It's an ongoing. They're going to drop the last Padawan from it.
Okay, that's what I was kind of wondering. I figured they were going into a Rebels book that I didn't hear about, judging by that very last page. So here we have the last part of Caleb's transition into Caleb in the flashback. We see him starting off being captured by the two, stormtroopers that were in his command previously before Order 66 going on. They finally caught up to him, but they didn't kill him, and which proved to be their downfall, because they said that he sat there and tried to talk to him, you know, while they're taking him back to Caller for some strange reason, because I guess they were going to kill him there for something, instead of just taking care of him outright. But then they got into one of them, Caleb's got into one of them's head. He ends up escaping from the ship in a rather spectacular and probably even for comics still implausible way, but it's comics, it happens. They get dealt with, the two stormtroopers. So after that, the Caleb meets back up with, well, Caleb gets pretty much gets rescued by Janus. I can't remember his last name. Well, yes, I do. Kana, who ends up being Kana's last name. I can't remember right now. And they part ways. And Caleb has a pretty good scene on that point, because he had some frustrations built up with the dude that he had been mentored under. And that kind of comes out in this at the end of this issue. Like I said, he kind of has a turn with him. They part ways, and then end scene. So, and which is going to lead into, the proper ongoing book next month, which I'm excited to see, because it looks like they're going to come flip back over to Rebels proper. Not sure where I'm not sure if this is going to be like before the show or in the middle of the show, wherever this book is going to end up.
Or run concurrent, maybe?
Yeah, I don't know. I would like to see if it is going to be, because I would like to see how the Rebels get together with that, but I seem like that's going to be something they're probably going to do in the show at some point, but we don't know. Overall, that this was actually another good book and a potential click of the week for me, because I kind of wanted to see, you know, how he got from there to here.
Cool. I'm definitely going to have to catch up on this. I'm not familiar with the Rebels show, so I don't, you know, I'm not as familiar with the character, but I'm glad to hear that you guys are enjoying the book.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I love the show. I can't wait for it to come back. Okay. So, anybody else read Loki?
Not yet.
I did. I did not have a chance to type it in. It's hard to really discuss this book.
Yes.
I didn't have a chance to make any notes on it. I wanted to take a quick peek at the notes that you had typed in to see if what you write, is in accordance with what I'm thinking. It was very difficult to sort of make my way through this, but ultimately we find ourselves at the end of everything, and Loki knows a lot.
Yes.
And he has an idea of where things are going, and he does name drop the Silver Surfer as pretty much the only other entity, and Dawn Greenwood. He doesn't mention Dawn Greenwood, but, you know, he mentions what's happening in the Silver Surfer book and how basically the Surfer is existing outside of Battle World and all the other stuff that's happening in Secret Wars.
Yeah.
So he lets that drop, but ultimately, where Loki ends, spoiler alert, is that there is no end. It's just a tease to what comes next.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure how else to talk about the rest of it, because it was just kind of like, you know, not psychedelic, but it was just kind of like a...
surreal?
Yeah, very surreal retelling and kind of adaptation of some of the previous Ragnarok-type stories that we've read in Thor.
Yeah.
You know, that's all I can say. Everything I'm saying right now is just really abstract, because I really can't explain this issue in a few sentences.
And realistically, in reading the book, it seems kind of abstract, even if you had read it. So, right. You know, anything else you could say wasn't going to make that any better, you know, because it is right. Something you would have to read to kind of you know, to kind of get the grasp on, and it would still come off the same way.
Absolutely, absolutely.
So, but yeah, I kind of like the way, I guess, well, yeah, so I guess he's pretty much positioning himself in the 8 months later. Let's just go ahead and put that part out.
Oh, absolutely.
By the way, because that was
so it's laying the groundwork for what he'll be doing in the all new, next. All different Marvel.
Yeah, pretty much. We know he'll be there, and right. I don't know. Did it read to you like he's reclaiming the God of Mischief title?
Yes,
because he kind of mentions that.
Yes, yes, much much more mischief than evil.
Right,
and I think that's what, you know, they would want to take the character in that direction again. So.
Gotcha.
You know, because Loki was always on that border. You know, he was right. always on that. I mean, he was always scheming, and you could always, you know, if you wanted to really broadly classify evil, then he probably would fall into the evil category. But if you wanted to keep it narrow, it would be more mischief.
Mm-hmm. The best thing I can say about this issue is that it seems that it's bringing together everything Loki has been historically, and I guess rebooting it in a way, because if you could tell by going through the story, it was like he kind of talks, you know, even all of the old characters, like King Loki shows up, and then the younger, you know, the younger one that we saw previously in Young Avengers, and in this book kind of shows up for a second, and all of that just kind of gets melded together, and then he's like, well, I need a break, I'm out, and see you on the flip side. Which is pretty much how this book ends, in almost a wall-breaking way.
I miss Loki, Agent of Asgard.
I will too. Yeah, because the book was good. I mean, the book was great.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, Al Ewing was tearing it up, and this, and another book that I guess we'll talk about in a little bit.
Excuse me.
Get a chance, check this out. Like I said, it doesn't necessarily tie into Super Surfer, but it does allude to it.
It's just a name drop.
Yeah. So if you are reading Silver Surfer, and you probably should, because that one has a closer tie-in to what's going on behind the scenes of Battleworld.
Or where we might right. come from when Battleworld and Secret Wars ends.
Right.
So did you want to talk about Al Ewing's other book this week? Because I heard you were just hinting strongly at it. I did read this.
Sure, why not? Captain Britain and the Mighty Defenders number 2, which apparently it was only a 2-issue book.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. Okay.
Which, that kind of sucks, but hey, you know what? They went out pretty good. So we find, after the events of last issue, I can't remember what's this, where they were, but we have Fazer Hussein, who, if you know from Captain Britain and MI6, is a character, and I think she showed up in Age of Ultron. She has Excalibur, which I don't remember when she got that, which might have happened then, I don't know. But she's pretty much walking the land, and she ends up in this one spot, which is right next to Mondo City, which is a city that I don't know about, and I was going to ask you guys about.
That sounds familiar.
Yeah, I don't know it, but it seems like a Judge Dredd.
I think I'm not as familiar with Judge Dredd as I probably should be, but I think that a lot of this stuff was an homage to a lot of the stuff that's in Judge Dredd.
Right, that's what it seemed like.
Specifically.
Yeah, because you see we have bosses, and you have War Machine as a crazy, actually big War Machine, and you see right. Maria Hill as a Thor/Baron/Punisher that runs the whole thing with a bunch of little bosses who go to try to take over the city that is next to them after Doom says, okay, do what you got to do your thing. So he pretty much says you don't have to worry about
retribution from
anything. Just go ahead and do what you got to do. Now, what we also find out in this book, because of that, because they go to try to break through the wall that separates the two cities, and they capture She-Hulk and White Tiger, Kid Rescue, Hobie Brown, who's Spider-Hero/Spider-Man, who makes up the Defenders, and also Fazer Hussein, who also knocks over the wall in the first place. They found out that the reason why they were trying to take over is because they needed the resources that the other city has, because theirs is getting depleted and it would help them out. But they went about it in a kind of crazy way. We also find out that Doom knows about all of this, which is why he pretty much set this up as a diversion for Fazer Hussein, because, you know, she's trying to find out what's going on in Battle World, we presume.
Right, but he's trying to keep her busy, basically.
Right, because she has all of the, all, which I don't know how she's even there, weirdly enough, because she wasn't with the team that came, you know, on the ship. So, and for all intents and purposes, we don't know where she came up, but she has all her memories of the previous universe.
There's a lot of that. That seemed to be like a theme in this week's issues. Yeah. Even some last week of, you know, people starting to question Doom.
Oh, yeah. Right. Things are unraveling, so, which is cool to see. So, and then we see, like I said, we see her talking to Doom for a second and saying, talking about coming after her, him. And he's like, nah, you're going to be a little bit busy. So,
yeah. It's like, yeah, you've got your hands full here, ladies. So. Yeah.
Which brings up another question, but and I think we do find out there's like, no, he did that just so he won't have to worry about, because as we've been just said, things are unraveling, and I think Doom's starting to pick up on that, so he just did this as a diversion for her and a diversion period just to kind of keep people from, you know, trying to find out what's really going on in Battle World.
Mm-hmm.
So we do see the whole overarching thing to it. But that's what I've been loving about Secret Wars, because you do start to see where everything's, like, we already saw the way the world's ripping up. We saw the things unraveling. We also have seen, you know, people getting wise to it,
mm-hmm.
and Doom starting to kind of see it, which actually brings up another point about the Doom part, but I think I'll wait for that when we do Secret War proper.
All right.
So hopefully I will remember that.
Mm-hmm.
But there's something real exciting about that part of it. But,
yeah. I was just gonna say that the design of I hesitate to call them judges, but you know, the shoulder pads, the helmets,
yeah.
That's obviously an homage to Judge Dredd. So
exactly,
you know, you definitely see that a lot of this is an homage to the Judge Dredd universe. Let's see. Anything else on that before we move to another book?
No, that's pretty much that. Like I said, seeing Maria Hill as a Thor / Baron / Punisher was pretty neat, but there wasn't really much made of it. Like, I kind of wish there was a couple more issues to kind of expand on that part about it, but hey, they did what they needed to, I guess.
I'm glad it's just a little 2-issue series. Like, all these, a couple of these books debuting, like, during the middle of Secret Wars.
Yeah.
But the thing about it was, while it was, it seems to be, even with the 2 issues, a pretty complete story, it really, which, not saying that it has really no bearing over the whole story, and that's not saying that any of them actually need to. Like, we see shades of the old Roger story in this book, but I would have loved to have seen, like, a little bit more tours. Like, all right, wait, we know Doom's, you know, up to something, and not everything is what it seems, even though we are getting that in other books. But I would have kind of loved to have seen a little bit more touched on that with this group for that. And, like I said, it didn't seem like it was necessary, a book, but I'm glad it's here. Don't get me wrong. Never mistake that. Like, it was just kind of a side story that was like, okay, yeah, we're going to touch on this stuff here and there, but
it's all right, and it's enjoyable. It has a couple of great character moments, and the art by Alan Davis, I mean, I know some, you know, he's not everyone's cup of tea, but I like it, so it was a fun read.
Yeah, like I said, I appreciated that it exists, but it was just like, I kind of wish there was more to it, and it just was kind of an offside thing.
Mm-hmm. Tim, I see you read Renew Your Vows #4.
I did.
What'd you think?
It's the, we call it the issue before the end, penultimate issue. Again, on your recommendation to the whole crew to keep the series, and it's paid off because the series has been very enjoyable. As we said in our private chats, the villain regent is unimportant to the story. Just think of it as just a family tale of Spider-Man, Mary Jane, and Annie Parker. And so this issue, at least the beginning of it, focused on her. I like how she's like, for the longest time, she thought her name was Annie No.
That's an old joke.
Yeah.
That is an old joke. But I love the way Slott and Kubert told it.
So that's an old joke.
Yeah, I mean, if you've never heard that, like, you know, like, I don't know where that's from, but I've heard it in a couple different instances where, you know, kids are just like, oh, my middle name is No, because that's all you would hear from their parents. But the way it's told here, I mean, one of them is like classic Superman, like Superboy, you know, like lifting the, you know, lifting something big up to get the ball that's rolled underneath. That's like straight out of like an old Superboy, like Kurt Swan issue. And there's just a couple.
Hello.
Yeah, exactly. There's just a couple here that just kind of made me smile. You know, so I was just going to say, we have, you know, it's a direct continuation from the last issue. Like, the events of last issue roll directly into this issue. And we have, we find out the Parkers, or at least Annie Mae and Mary Jane, weren't exactly kidnapped.
Yes, they were taken by the underground SHIELD resistance group, at least what's left of them. Prowler, Mockingbird, Spot.
And someone who we thought was Nick Fury, but wasn't.
Yeah.
The Spot.
In spirit only.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
I'm sorry, did you say The Spot?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, and he plays a central role in the issue. Uh-huh. And you finally find out how certain things are working because of The Spot.
Huh. Imagine
is
that.
Is it The Spot, or is it The Spot, or is Spot?
No, I think it's The Spot.
Yeah, and
yeah, that's no, funny. Yeah, no. In all seriousness, it's The Spot. So, you know, there's like a turn of events, and we're coming to the ultimate, you know, to the final issue where the Parker family has to come together. They are separated here. We've already mentioned that Annie Mae and Mary Jane are whisked away, but you know, without spoiling too much. In the next issue, they all have to come together to fight the bad guy.
Spider team assemble.
Yeah, pretty much. Pretty much. I'm enjoying this. I didn't think I was going to enjoy this, but I am.
Yeah.
So, which I guess...
It fills that niche for people that want to see married Spider-Man again.
I was about to say, this is...
Twice after Secret Wars is over.
Yeah, you know what's funny is that I never knew how much I missed, like, this version of Mary Jane, who was in on everything,
right?
Understood what was going on, and, like, helped in any way she could, you know? Like, I didn't realize that I missed this, because this was the Spider-Man that, this was the relationship that we saw, like, you know, like, the new McFarlane era, you know, like, when he first debuted on the book, like, right around, like, Amazing 298. This is where they were, you know? They weren't married, but they had that relationship where, you know, Mary Jane contributed to the story, and you know, wasn't as in the dark as she was long before then.
Yeah, right. It's cool to see Annie step up and be a focal part. She took out the couple members of the Sinister Six, took out Kraven Dirty,
and the what? Shocker. Yep.
But yeah,
she took them out. Yeah, it was pretty amusing. It was pretty amusing.
So you know? No Mayday Parker, huh?
Not in no this Mayday. Universe. Yeah.
Oh, I was going to say, you spoke of this book being a surprise. You may want to keep that in mind for the end of your discussion. There may be a category.
Ah, that
might imply for.
Nice.
Okay. Let's see. Guardians of Nowhere, number 3, was
Yeah, I found myself saying the same thing.
Except for, again, the thread of... No, forget him. He's stupid.
Stupid. Thank you. You confirm what I said last week. Didn't the last issue of this come out last week or 2 weeks ago?
2 weeks ago, I think.
2 weeks ago. I said the same damn thing about Yotat, because I can't get past the stupid name and the stupid character. Like, why is he the focal point of this limited series so far?
And you know, you just know he's going to survive.
Because he's going to be big. This is just what you were about to say. He's going to be big once everything comes out of Secret Wars.
Yeah, I was going to say, you know he's going to be, he'll stick around afterwards.
Yeah.
But the only importance of this issue is the threat of people not starting to question Doom.
Mm-hmm.
And this fairy tale land...
Which I guess is the moon that's over by the world, apparently.
Now, okay, I was going to ask. Yes, yeah, so yeah, the head is it's the same nowhere head from pre. But who is that character at the end?
I don't know.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know if I missed something or...
I don't know. I wasn't sure if that was supposed to be like Thanos's, you know what I'm talking about?
Thing?
No, it was a lady.
Oh.
Nebula?
I don't know if that's Nebula. I don't know who that is. I'm not sure.
I'm saying, is that who you were trying to talk about?
No. From New Event. No, from Avengers and New Avengers. You know what I'm talking about? That one of those ladies that.
Proxima Midnight.
Yeah, Yes. I thought that might have been Proxima Midnight.
You know what? It might be.
You know, but you know what's funny is that it seems like the characters that have been given the the wherewithal. I say wherewithal, and I use that word specifically, the wherewithal to come to a point where they're questioning reality and they're questioning the reality that Doom has created. They're the ones who came into this battle world with like super duper heightened cosmic level powers. You know, in whatchamacallit, in Korvac, we have the Guardians. In Korvac, we have the Guardians. We have Starhawk.
Yeah.
Right? In this, we have Gamora jacked up with the powers from the Black Vortex.
Right.
Was that chick from Captain Britain in the Mighty Defenders cosmic, though?
No, but she's also wielding Excalibur.
Right. Oh, okay.
And that gives her extra sensory type, you know what I mean? Like an enhanced level that may be beyond what Doom can manipulate.
Well, that and her powers outside of that could potentially, now that I think about it, could potentially be a part of that because she has the power of basically looking through people to see what's wrong with them and fixing them.
There you go.
So
I was one.
So maybe that's kind of keeping her, kind of keeping all of her thoughts together. I don't know.
Right.
I was curious if the person at the end of the issue, before I turned the page, I thought it was going to be like one of the people from the life raft. But no.
Right. Which, wait, she was on the other one. So if that is part of a Midnight, because she was the one with that.
She was in the life raft. Yeah, she was in the life raft.
So
she was in a life raft.
Yeah, she was in the evil people.
It didn't look like her, unless she's like changed her outfit.
Well, see, that was the thing, yeah. Because I just took a glance at it. Because that kind of, I can see where you see where it looks like Nebula, but since you said that, that kind of makes more sense.
Mm-hmm. Maybe she's had to change her clothes, you know, like after the confrontation with Doctor Strange, you know? Like she got thrown. Remember, like Doctor Strange scattered everybody to the four winds. So maybe she had to kind of re-equip.
Maybe. Who knows?
We'll see. But that's all
the Bendis Secret Wars books have been kind of lacking.
Even though our rule is these are the ones that are probably gonna make a difference later on.
Yeah. Huh? I'm sure there'll be something in the last issue of this. If I don't know if the next issue is the end or not, but something will be sown, some seed will be planted in nowhere.
All right. So here's a question. I have not been reading this book, which is kind of a surprise, given being a fan of the Guardians. Is this? I'm assuming this is not at this point worth the read.
It's been an uneven read at best.
Guardians.
It's an uneven read.
Yeah, Guardians of Nowhere.
Guardians of Nowhere. At best,
I'd almost say it's like not worth it to try to pick up. You haven't missed anything. You missed the origin of Yotat last issue, and the first issue was a bunch of fighting.
Yeah. Sure. Okay. There's not that much going on.
Okay.
Justice League 43?
I didn't enjoy this as much as I think you guys did.
I didn't read it.
Let's see.
This was kind of a tough read.
I mean, it made sense to me. I actually enjoyed it a lot just because everything just seems so major in this dark side.
That's
before E, people.
That's funny.
But so Batman has the power of a god. He has the Mobius chair, so he knows things.
He knows things.
Okay, wait. And it's Batman. He already knows things.
Yeah, he doesn't. He knows more things.
He knows. Let's see. Anti-Monitor and Darkseid came face to face.
Yeah, see, that's the part. These are the things that I don't like about this issue and the story is I don't care about any of these characters that are, like, fighting. Yes, it's Darkseid and Anti-Monitor, but still. But I know the DC fanboys lap this stuff up.
Yeah, I have no allegiance to Anti-Monitor. Isn't he just, like, a big robot?
I don't know.
Is he an alien? What is he?
We're professing our ignorance of the DC history.
Yeah, this is why we need Dirt here, because he would have probably known.
But no! Dirt just said, I just spilled a $10 word at some point just recently.
Yeah.
Hashtag $10 words.
But we still don't know the whole deal with Grail, Darkseid's daughter.
Wait, did you say Grail?
Yes.
She's an Amazon. She was born the same day as Diana. I do like that Wonder Woman is sort of like the focal point for the Justice League. It's good to see her.
I was about to say she's the last standing member of their big three because Batman's gone and, gone native by sitting on the Mobius chair. And Superman is off with Lex Luthor. That's another part of the story. Superman's off with Lex Luthor on
Apocalypse. That's been cool. They're like little back and forth. Superman having to depend on Luthor because there's no direct sunlight on Apocalypse, so he's weakened.
That was going to be the other thing I asked. Is it following behind his Earth storyline, or this is
This is doing his own thing. Bruce is still Batman, so...
Yes.
Gotcha. Okay.
Even though in the Techno Comics, whenever the new creative team comes on, that'll follow in the regular continuity. Gotcha. But yeah, Geoff Johns doing his own thing. Mr. Miracle is teamed up with the Justice League to, I guess, be the third. Like I said, in my review, I said there's like three sides. You have Darkseid and his forces, Anti-Monitor and Grail, and the Justice League. And Batman and Green Lantern are going off to find answers in the multiverse, which should be interesting. And yeah, Luthor and Superman are on Apocalypse, and Superman kind of went crazy at the end. He got too much power or something.
What I was going to say is that was the only interesting part of this issue to me because, you know, this is a setup. This issue is a setup for the battle, or at least, you know, setting the sides, kind of drawing the battle lines. The last few pages and the last kind of a cliffhanger page were interesting to me because I was wondering what Luthor was doing by you know, kind of exposing Superman to what he exposed them to. And, you know, to see this happen, it's like, oh, you know what, this sort of makes sense because Apocalypse isn't exactly made of sugar and spice and everything nice like girls are, you know what I mean?
Oh, for a minute, I thought you said Sugar and Spike, which I know is another old DC character.
Oh boy!
So I shouldn't know anything about, but
right. So ultimately, the cliffhanger page did a lot more for me than the rest of the issue did. But it's probably because I'm not as enthusiastic about the setup. I kind of want to see what the payoff is, though. So I'm going to be sticking with Justice League for the duration of the Darkseid War.
But yeah, I'm enjoying this, and I'm looking forward to like the little one-off issues coming up in a couple months, where it's like each Justice League member is a different god, I guess, new god.
Oh, is that what? Oh, I don't know what's going on.
You don't read the solicits.
Not as carefully.
I will say that apparently Johns and Fabok really likes Mr. Miracle, or at least this article is suggesting, and which is in the that second section, by the way, if y'all want to check it out, because that might answer something about Anti-Monitor if you guys are interested in that.
And Dirt is chiming in on Twitter saying that the old school DC vibe, hearkening back to Crisis, is what the 8-year-old in him really loves. So and I definitely feel that in this book.
And the article that I just alluded to is also suggesting that.
So. What was that?
I said the article that I was just alluding to also mentioned that it was an article with Geoff Johns and Fabok about the storyline.
Oh, okay.
Because it's like this big cosmic,
Yeah, and they kind of mentioned Crisis, so.
All right.
What else we got?
What else y'all have?
Let's talk Weird World.
Yeah, there we go.
Did you read Weird World, Roddy?
No, I didn't get a chance to.
Well, you should. And if you're, are you just behind? Have you read any of the?
I hadn't read any of them. Yeah, I hadn't read any of them.
Read it. This is another one of the big surprise books from Secret Wars, where going into this, I could not figure out how this book fit into everything. I did not think I would care about a book where Archon was the main character, but it's so well written. It's so, you know, Aaron gives Archon such great lines. And, you know, a lot of it is, I hate to say this, is comedic timing. You know, so much of it is just well written with the art by Mike Del Mundo. You can't undersell how much Del Mundo's art does in this, because it really sells some of the lines that Archon is delivering you sort of have to put the comic timing into your mind as you're reading it, but it's laid out in such a way where it's natural, and you can't help but laugh when you read Archon yelling at this guy Warbo, the Crystal Warrior, saying, "You are a madman." You just can't help but laugh just because of the way it's delivered and the way the page is laid out. So I'm pleasantly surprised at this. Honestly, trying to recap this is not pointless. You know, honestly, what this book is revolving around is the quest of Archon to kind of make his way.
He wants to get home.
Yeah, make his way home through War World, through Weird World, and you know, he runs across these various obstacles.
I do like that. It seems like every issue there's like a one big splash page of like a looking at a map or something. And I do like that the one thing I picked out from the map this issue actually was the location of the end for this issue.
Oh, yes. Right in the middle.
Yeah. I was like, oh, okay. And then he ended up there.
Right in the middle. But there's a couple of really great things on this map. If you look closely at it, I'm not even spoiling anything when you look in there and there is a hippo with a machine gun on it.
Nice.
Like, seriously, Roddy, you really need to read this because it is that much fun.
Huh. All right.
You know, this is definitely a sleeper candidate for Click of the Week this week for me because I couldn't help but just smile and laugh at what I was reading because it was just so crazy. And like I said, I give Aaron and Del Mundo so much credit with how this book is written and laid out and drawn that, you know, like I said, the comedic timing is there on the page. You don't even have to try that hard to read it to have it make sense and to make you laugh.
Okay.
But yeah, the art, is it a painted style by Mike Del Mundo?
I'm not. It might be watercolor.
Maybe watercolor is the proper term.
It's still paint, but this is watercolor, right?
Yeah,
it's painting with watercolor.
And I like the little bar scene.
Yes.
That was great.
Yeah.
I like that dude has like, he's like Zaza from Batman, got all the scratches on his arms and stuff. Did you notice that?
Oh, Mr. Zazz or something like that?
Mr. Zazz.
Yeah. He's got for every kill, he's got like a scratch, you know, he's got like a hash mark on, you know?
Yeah.
So, but yeah, like you said, you know, we have Archon end up in a location from the map that Warbo was giving him, and it's just a wacky offbeat story that I can't believe I'm enjoying so much.
Again, Jason Aaron.
Yeah, definitely. All right, let's see, what else did you guys read that I might have read?
Robinson and Batman you read, right?
I skimmed it. I mean, if you want to talk about it, let's see what Roddy read real quick. Oh, no, I think we got to everything Roddy read.
Yeah, I think that was pretty much it for me.
All right.
I mean, Batman was fine. It's Robin and Nobody, I guess the second Nobody, teaming up to, I'm not even sure, I guess Damian's going back and righting wrongs from his past.
Right.
And the guest appearance at the end was nice. Oh, I didn't put Doom number 3 on here.
Let's talk about that. I read that.
Yeah. So Doom is a fun series.
Yeah, sorry, Robin, son of Batman number 3.
Yeah. Doom's a lot better, though. It's the beginning of the issue introduces the Alpha Centurion mm-hmm. to this post-New 52 world. He's gay, so another plus for DC Comics, bringing the diversity. He's the roommate of our Doom character. It's sad that I can't remember his real name. I'm going to call him DC's Miles Morales.
Right, that's what that...
I think that's Dirt started that.
Yeah, he did, and I got to give it up to Dirt because Dirt is the one that coined the phrase that this is Scott Lobdell doing Miles Morales in the DC universe.
But it's fun.
Well, the worst part is every time I read the main character's name, the main character's name is Riser. And I'm like, wait a second. That looks nothing like Paul Riser from, Mad About You. Come on, that is not Paul Riser. You know? But anyway.
The art, Javier Fernandez did some guest spots on Magneto for Marvel, but his art looks even better here. There's like a quick little battle sequence with the Doom character and like a monster hitman.
Mm-hmm.
And I like that it wasn't like the stereotypical battle, you know, fight. It's like once the guy realized this is just like a kid, he was like, I'll give you a break.
Right. It wasn't as straightforward as these things can be. So it was a nice twist. I agree with that. That was a nice twist to the story. You know, I was surprised to see that. I thought this was going to be a lot more like kind of intergalactic spacefaring stuff with the involvement of this character. But he quickly, you know, takes leave once he discovers that the doomed character isn't the monster that he thought it was.
Yeah.
I kind of thought that. Well, I guess they're saving that for future issues. But I kind of thought that we'd be going in that direction right away. But I guess we're going to get to that point eventually. Instead, what we have is this book is firmly in the Superman storyline where his powers have been halved and his identity's been outed. I'm pretty sure that's where this book sits, because there's some guest appearances, you know, on the last page, at the cliffhanger page, where I think they make mention of the current status quo of Superman. That's obviously not the status quo that's in Justice League.
Oh yeah.
You know,
the guest stars have me excited, because I want to really enjoy the book that they appear in.
That they normally appear in, correct.
But it's kind of an eh. I need DC to get there.
I was about to say we're spoiling who we're talking about, but no.
Well, I've been wanting to set this subsection of DC heroes to get a push.
Right, or at least get their story straight and get things right, you know, so that
it's been lackluster so far, but hey.
It was lackluster in the New 52, and it's lackluster now.
But now we've got some, at least solo characters appearing in their own books that are kind of fun to make up for where they're not pulling their weight.
I love it. Dirt tweets out at us for when you need a Mad About You reference out of the blue. I love it. I love it.
Who said the Mad About You reference?
We did.
Yeah, we did.
I don't like
hey, I could have said my two dads. But, I mean, if you want to really go back on it.
Oh, no. I love it. So anyway, I'm enjoying this Doomed book. As much as we kind of joke about it being the Miles Morales of the DC Universe, right now this is still a pretty fun book to read. And like Tim said, these guest stars at the end, you know, make for an interesting lead into the next issue.
So that's Doomed, number 3.
Cool. Yep, let's see here. What else?
What's up with 1872?
This sleeper pick for Click of the Week. Not kidding.
I hadn't had a chance to read it yet.
Not kidding. I am very much surprised at how much I am enjoying this book. This is the story of Timely, the town of Timely. It's a Wild West setting where the Marvel characters are set up.
Which, by the way, I totally forgot about that reference.
Oh, Timely.
Yeah.
Old time Timely, right?
Mm-hmm.
So basically what we have is the Kingpin is the mayor of Timely, but Steve Rogers is the do-gooder
sheriff.
And Red Wolf is trying to save his tribe from starvation, basically by attacking a dam that had been set up by the Roxxon company, and you know, in doing what Roxxon normally does, and they're trying to set up a mining operation, I think it is. It's a silver
mine. Something to do with mines, right? Yeah.
It's a mining operation, but you know how Roxxon is. It's all about natural resources and energy. And they're doing, they set up a dam that is depriving Red Wolf's tribe of water. And he's trying, you know, he and a bunch of members of the tribe, some warriors, tried to attack the dam. And they were all defeated. And he was on the verge of being killed for his crimes. And Steve Rogers, you know, interceded on his behalf and arrested him and was now tasked with protecting him against the forces of the Kingpin.
And stirs up a mess of trouble in the doing.
Yes, stirs up a whole heap of trouble. Now, this issue has a severe turn of events for our man Captain America / Steve Rogers / Sheriff Rogers. A severe, severe turn of events. But we also have, you know, some of the characters who have been introduced in this series, such as Natasha Romanoff, a.k.a. the Black Widow, and Red Wolf kind of, you know, coming together. And we see Tony Stark, the erstwhile Iron Man, who kind of gets sobered up a little bit too late to deal with what happens to Sheriff Rogers. But as a result of that, he kind of sobers up and gets to work. And we see we're probably leading up to where there might be something of a payback, or at least a strike back against the Kingpin. The story is told from the point of view of Ben Urich, who is the local journalist. And I'm trying to see if there's anything I'm missing. I told this in very broad strokes, trying to keep things as general as possible. But it borrows a lot of classic old West story tropes. If you've watched Unforgiven, if you've watched any old Western, but a lot of the stuff that that comes to mind is some of the more recent fare that I've seen, like Unforgiven. It's a surprising read. It's surprisingly enjoyable. You don't have to be a fan of Old West stories to read this. So pick it up. This is another one of these surprising Secret Wars books that I happily recommend for anyone who's just looking for something different and fun to read.
Okay. Have to get on that one.
Yeah, give it a shot.
Well, I read the first one, and I was like, and I wanted to check it out. I just didn't get a chance to read it today. Yeah. So.
Cool. Cool. All right. Let's see. Did anyone read?
So,
are we in rapid review yet? Or
yeah.
It's getting late. Let's do rapid reviews. Bizarro number 3. Another cute, fun story. With Bizarro and Jimmy Olsen and a guest star who turns out to be the descendant of Jonah Hex. And basically, what we deal with is, one of the acknowledged weaknesses of Superman, and it makes sense that it would be a weakness for Bizarro, is magic. And they sort of tap into that in this issue because they're basically dealing with apparitions, with ghosts. And, they're definitely one aspect of magic. And, there's some shenanigans that ensue when Bizarro and Jimmy and the descendant of Jonah Hex are looking for someone and they run into a town full of ghosts. There's a great splash page in here of what the ghost finds when the ghost basically tries to possess or does possess Bizarro and is trying to locate Bizarro's brain. And if you can think about where Bizarro's brain might be in his Bizarro body, it's a pretty funny one-page splash that's great fun to read. So, if you're looking for just something that's like offbeat and fun to read, pick up Bizarro number 3. It's a nice, pretty much done in one issue, although it does, it's basically a road trip story so far. Each issue is pretty much self-contained. The one thing you need to know is that they're on a road trip. So, that's an enjoyable read. Let's see what else. House of M number 1. I was mildly disappointed in this book. This is kind of one of the late arriving Secret Wars limited series. For anyone that doesn't remember, House of M, the original limited series was the after effect of Wanda Maximoff saying no more mutants. So, if anyone remembers that semi-fondly, I wasn't the biggest fan of the story. But now we have this limited series. It basically involves the royal court of the Baron of this area of Battleworld, and the Baron is Magneto, and he has his children there as his right hand and his left hand. He has Polaris, who in this reality is one of his children, the Scarlet Witch, and Quicksilver in this reality also his children, as opposed to the 616.
And in the actual reality, only one of them, I guess, is his daughter, child.
And and then we have like the Human Resistance. This is echoing the House of M limited series, but it was just kind of disappointing. It kind of meandered. There is a point to the story. There is a traitor in the ranks of the House of M, and that's where we end up. I don't want to spoil again too much. If you're a fan of the story, I suggest you read it. But this, very much like some of the other Secret Wars books, like Extinction Agenda, it's just not doing anything for me right now. And I was a fan of the original, at least the original Extinction Agenda, not so for the Secret Wars limited series.
There's a couple, I guess, like Inferno came out and...
Yes, that too.
My quick rapid review is Book of Death number 2 from Valiant Comics. This is their summer event series where a geomancer from the future has come to foretell like the end of the Valiant universe. And the Eternal Warrior is tasked with keeping her alive, and there's like some evil forces after her, and there's like these evil things happening in towns across America that everyone thinks is linked to this Geomancer from the future. So the Valiant Universe's Avengers team, aka Unity, is going after her.
U-N-I-T-Y. I'm sorry.
They're going after her to, I guess, like, try to figure out what's going on, and Eternal Warrior was a member of Unity, but he's trying to keep her safe, so he basically takes out Unity by himself, which is Livewire, Exo Manowar, and Ninjak. So he takes them all out, even though they're all powerful people with power, except for Ninjak, but he's like a trained warrior. But Eternal Warrior has been doing this for centuries, and at the end, we figure out who's the villain pulling the strings behind everything.
Quantum and Woody.
Ah!
The goat. And that's it for me.
All right.
You got anything else, Agent 70?
Just wanted to mention the last book I actually was able to type in was Silk number, what are we up to, number 8? I think this is also six. This is, I think, the penultimate issue, or I think there might be two more left. I'm not sure. But what we have here is, there's a little bit more development with the Cindy Moon character. We find out that, we find out a little bit more about her past, because she's been captured by someone who knows something about her past. And that person ultimately meets his demise, not quite at the hands of the Black Cat in this issue, but it kind of leaves Cindy Moon and the Black Cat even more at odds at the end of this. It's a weird ending to this arc, because it does set up some of the characters' motivations going forward, but obviously we're getting to the end of this particular run of Silk, because it's actually teased at the very end that the end of the world is nigh. So
everything ends.
Yeah, exactly. So we'll see where we are. I think this is the penultimate, but I don't know for sure. There might be two more. There might just be one more.
Okay.
Good diva.
Clicks of the week.
Yeah.
I gotta figure out what mine is gonna be.
I'm kinda torn. I had a couple of real candidates.
I think I know what mine is. Yeah. I'm gonna go with Martian Manhunter number 3.
Whoa! Dirt is happy about that.
I enjoyed it. The more I thought about it, it's like that left an impression on me.
Dirt is happy about that. Okay, so I'm torn between the two books that I had the most fun reading. One was because we're getting more payoff from Amazing Spider-Man Renew Your Vows number 4. We're getting a lot more of, like Annie and MJ kind of just stepping up. But I think my click of the week is going to be Weird World number 3 out of nowhere.
That was another one.
Much fun for me to read. So much fun. It's so well done. I'm so shocked that this is one of my favorite Secret Wars books.
Cool. It's on you, Roddy.
Sorry, I was answering a friend of the show, Matt Wang, on something.
Oh, what did he miss? He missed everything!
I don't know. This one's kind of a tough one for me, because Loki was as abstracted as what it was really good. Kanan was good. Started Wars was good. Captain Britain and the Mighty Defenders number 2. I would have really have loved to have seen more to this, but it did a lot with the two issues that it had. And I would have loved to, I would love to see more on this team, after everything is, after Secret Wars is over, whatnot, but probably not. So yeah, there we go.
Cool. And Dirt, if he's still awake or not, can tweet us his click of the week, or tweet out his click of the week for everyone to see. And I guess that's it for tonight's show.
There you go.
I want to thank everyone for tuning in to tonight's Comic Book Chronicles. Follow us on our individual Twitter accounts. I'm at TimDogg98 and at CBCron. Dirt is at PCN_Dirt on Twitter, and go to his website, popculturenetwork.com. Agent 70 is at Agent_70. Roddy Cat is at Roddy Cat and at News Nerds Need. And thanks to people tweeting at us during the show live, at MattWang97.
Yeah.
Who enjoyed that type of Dirt.
And Dirt is applauding your Dirt is definitely cheering on your choice of click of the week this week, Tim.
And shout outs to at NDNAngel25 and Average Comic Geek.
Nice. Thank you very much. Thank you very much.
We'll be back next week, 9 p.m. Eastern Time on google.com/plus symbol DClickNation or youtube.com/DClickNation. It's also a YouTube channel. And we are the Comic Book Chronicles, and we are signing off.
Peace!